Do you eat oysters?
When I have them, master.
Do you eat snails?
No, master.
Do you consider the eating of oysters to be moral and the eating of snails to be immoral?
No, master.
Of course not. It is all a matter of taste, isn't it?
Yes, master.
And taste is not the same as appetite, and therefore not a question of morals, is it?
So, master.
My robe, Antoninus.
That was a little piece of the film Spartacus starring Kirk Douglas. Of course, that was not Kirk Douglas, that was Sir Laurence Olivier in the hot tub with Tony Curtis, the movie Spartacus, 1960. Spartacus. It is Little Saigon, and you know who this is, drinking his taster's choice. Great freeze-dried coffee. I gotta tell you something. If it ain't good, it's cheap. It is the Little Saigon Report, and you see good friend Dan here in Little Saigon. And it is 10 p.m. on December the 16th, 2019. It's amazing. Christmas is literally right around the corner. That's right. There's a hooker named Christmas who lives right around the corner. I love Christmas. She's great. That's right, Christmas is right around the corner. A hooker, a stripper named Christmas lives right down the street, right around the corner. But Christmas, the holiday, is also very near. I think it's next week. Holy fuck. Do you have all your Christmas shopping done? Is there somebody you care about that you would like to buy some fucking oysters? If you feel a certain way about oysters, what does that tell you about yourself? You know, a person likes oysters, it doesn't like oysters, fuck. I personally do not like oysters. And I'm not, you know, saying that figuratively. I hate oysters. I pretty much hate all seafood now. I feel like going to a seafood restaurant is like going to the morgue. Because these oceans that were once so filled with life are kind of dying, and eating the last living things out of them just doesn't appeal to me. Just doesn't really. Interesting thing about that fucking scene, I think Sir Laurence Olivier was actually, I think he was gay. He was closeted probably, because back in the day you couldn't really say you were gay, but that scene is pretty fucking gay. And just FYI, I point this out not out of homophobia, but out of cultural interest. It is an artifact of cultural history. Think about the argument that this Roman is making. His basic argument is that questions of taste are different than questions of morality. And I kind of agree with that. You know, if you say to somebody, is it okay for a woman to fall in love with a woman? Well, I mean, I'm not Jesus and I'm not God. And as long as it's adults doing voluntary shit, I frankly think it's their own fucking voluntary business. And yeah, in a sense, it is a matter of taste. Now, for me, it's also a matter of principle because I'm a Christian. So even though it's not my cup of tea eating oysters, I recognize some people love oysters. Yeah, some people do. That's fine. But what if the taste of the Roman isn't just for the young slave, ostensibly adult slave Antoninus, played by the sexy Tony Curtis? Oh yeah, father to Jamie Lee Curtis. Sir Laurence Olivier might have been gay, but I think Tony probably wasn't, although it might have been gay for pay. Think about being a young actor in Hollywood back in the day. Kind of like living in ancient Rome, really. Not so different today. You think Harvey Weinstein, if you think him being gone fixes anything at all with how Hollywood functions, you are so fucking precious. You are so precious. That's so precious. It fixes nothing. So yeah, what happened then happens today. But what about this? What if the taste of the person isn't for oysters or clams or salmon or same-sex sex, you know? What if the taste is for catamites, also known as kids? Yeah, that's what they called them in ancient Rome, catamites, slave children you use for sex. Now, me personally, this is where this little argument of Sir Laurence Olivier in the movie Spartacus kind of takes me aside, because I can sort of buy into the notion of two voluntary adults doing whatever the fuck they want to do, two or more, whatever, in their own fucking room. I don't want to see it, fine. I have real issue with people taking advantage of slaves, and yeah, Antoninus in this context, he's a slave. He may not be a kid, but he's a slave. So I'm not a real big fan of that, but since I'm a slave in the United States of America, or rather, I'm on the plantation, it's hard for me to judge. We're all on the plantation, or rather, we all live on the Death Star. And everyone's a slave on the Death Star, a slave to their own bullshit, a slave to their desire to get shit at Walmart, a slave to a cheeseburger and fries, a pack of cigarettes, and a bottle of whiskey on the Death Star. We're all in it together, folks. When this thing goes down, when the reactor gets blown, yeah, we're all gonna feel it. You see, as a Christian, and frankly, just as an adult, a normal, everyday, freedom-loving human being, you know, aka anarchist, I can respect adults doing voluntary shit as long as they're not abusing other adults. Which means as long as it's fucking, you know, consenting adults. And if I have to explain what consent is, it gets really fucking depressing. But where the little argument... And I haven't researched who wrote the screenplay or the director. So, in a way, this requires more research. But that the little argument that shows up in this fucking movie might be okay for non-slave gay people who are adults. Fine for lesbians, fine for homosexuals. I don't care. That's your fucking business. But it's not okay to think of that in terms of kids. Because all of a sudden... it is a question of morality. It really is, folks. It's not just a question of taste. If you're into children sexually and you're an adult, there's something wrong with you. There's something disturbing about you. There's something broken. And maybe if you haven't done anything about it, like if you haven't actually harmed a child, there's some kind of fucking redemption. There might be. I'm not God. But once you go down the road of saying, well, I love snails, or I love oysters, and if one person loves snails and someone else loves oysters, what the fuck? Once you've gone down that fucking road, it's done. You have dehumanized people. You have treated children like fangs. Children are not objects. Children are not fangs. They're not for spare parts. They're not for blood so you can stay looking younger when you're older. If you're lucky enough to be a parent, if you're lucky enough to have a kid, it is a burden, it is a responsibility, and it is probably the most important thing you will ever do with your whole fucking life, especially today. Of all the times, of all the ages, how you raise your kid today is the only thing you're going to do that will possibly survive the cultural singularity to come. That's it. How did you raise your kids? But this idea of treating children like spare parts, treating children like throwaway, treating children like they're things we can use for our own pleasure, this is the opposite. This is literally evil. And I'm sorry for going to a dark place at the beginning because, listen folks, there are a lot of people, I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I think there are a lot of people in the quote-unquote gay community who are kind of upset with how that whole thing's been hijacked. And it's not just about trying to normalize pedophilia. That's bad enough, and that looks like that's coming. But it's also this whole thing about trying to just look the other way with this whole transgender bullshit. Okay? I think it's a lot of bullshit, folks. I'm not saying there aren't people with gender dysphoria. I have no doubt about that. I have no doubt there are people that are confused, especially in the world in 2019 about their sexuality. I understand that. I was confused about it years ago, and the world, even though it was crazy then, wasn't quite this fucking crazy. But just because you're confused about it, does that mean a therapist or a doctor should immediately recommend gender reassignment surgery? I mean, listen, any kind of surgery that you can choose not to have will extend your life. Let me rephrase that. Avoiding the surgeon's knife is a way to live longer. Avoiding drugs from the doctor, all things being equal, is a way to live longer. If you go down the path of gender reassignment, whether you're an adult, which is bad, or worse, if you're parents of a kid and your kid happens to walk down the fucking doll aisle and sees a Barbie, and all of a sudden you think, oh, little Tommy is really little Tammy, and we should cut his wee-wee off. You know what? If you're an adult that thinks like that, you are also a child abuser. You've abdicated your responsibility as a fucking adult. I don't know what to tell you. When I was a kid, I wanted to be all kinds of crazy fucking things. Thank God my parents at least had the wherewithal, the reflection to say, no, Dan, you don't get to become a fucking dinosaur, and we don't even have the money to make it happen. You don't get to become a robot. You don't get to put your brain in a jar. None of these things will be allowed. And yet today, if a kid says, you know, I'm 8 years old, and oh, let me tell you, I know everything at 8. And even though my name is Tommy, I think I'm Tammy. There are parents, especially in other countries for some strange reason. But yeah, here too, let me not beat up on other people or other places. Here in the United States, there are people, there are doctors, there are therapists who are pushing this as a fucking agenda. And I think there are people in the gay community, quote unquote, who are probably as pissed off about this as I am and other people are. And I don't want to get into the whole, you know, what does it mean for a young man who becomes a woman and then competes in women's athletics? That's a whole nother level of fucking bullshit. Okay? I'm sorry, but there is no way anybody should be okay with the idea of a sexually male person saying, I'm a woman, and going through the process and saying, oh, I get to win the championship now. Look at me. I'm a woman. And I won the fucking gold medal. Congratulations, but you're not actually a woman. That's the problem. So sorry I spent so much time on this one. It's kind of a dark, dark one. Because it deals with issues of judgment, which is one of my biggest sins. And it deals with a very touchy subject. Because people think that just because you have questions about the quote-unquote gay agenda, you must be homophobic. And I'm not, actually. I'm not homophobic. I am opposed to pedophilia. And if you're someone who believes we should normalize it, I'm kind of opposed to you. But I'm not opposed to gay people. I meditate on that question more often than you might think because I knew people who were gay growing up, and I don't really think they were made gay, you know, except for by God. And if it were something where they were made gay, the only thing I can think of is environmental degradation. And let's not talk about that because that's a whole depressing topic, folks. Fucking A. Oysters and snails. Which do you prefer? I don't know. I can tell you this. If you're lucky enough to be a parent, if you're lucky enough to have kids, and I say lucky because I don't think it's a burden in the sense that it's a disaster. It is a burden. It is a responsibility, but it's kind of like the responsibility of a lifetime. If you're lucky enough to have that, and you're trying your best, and you know that it all stems from love, God bless you. But if you're a parent, and you're the kind of parent that if your kid said, I want to be a fire truck, so you're going to take him out to the shed and cut off his legs and put metal wheels where his legs were, listen, if you're that kind of fucking parent, I'm not supposed to judge you, but I would plead with you before you cut off your kid's legs and turn your child into a fire truck, ask yourself not just how did God make your child, but does your child really know what it would mean to become a fire truck? Or if they're a little boy, what it would mean to turn into a little girl, or vice versa. Next topic. You ever see the movie Conan the Barbarian? It's an interesting barbarian flick with Arnold Schwarzenegger. They made a couple in that franchise. It was the Conan 2 and the other ones were just Red Sonja, fuck. These were terrible, terrible films. Terrible films. But I was thinking about words, like specifically names, how names can strike fear. And I can imagine a conversation when they were coming up with the fucking screenplay. And maybe this is based on a fucking adventure story, right? One of those fucking Dunsany tales from 100 years ago. So fuck that. Pretend that it's not a Lord Dunsany or some type of fucking tale that some weirdo British dude wrote 100 years ago about magical lands of people that don't exist. Pretend it's not that. Pretend it's just a fucking screenplay. Or pretend however you want to. Pretend games are fun. You get to pretend however you want to, folks. You get to pretend. But here's a pretend game. Pretend you were sitting with the producer of the film Conan the Barbarian. And the producer's sitting with you and you're saying, listen, dude, this story's great, okay? Everybody loves this barbarian bullshit. It's really fucking sexy. Holy crap, we're going to do well. However, Conan, we did a focus group on the name Conan, and it turns out that most people think it's the, you know, nickname of a friend they knew from their fraternity and not really a scary fucking barbarian. What if we called the hero Zoltan? Zoltan the Barbarian. Thank you. And the producer looks across the table and says to this young writer, he says, listen, buddy, I'm not going to go into the intention of the author or that we wrote a fucking contract. I'm just telling you, you can't call the guy Zoltan. It'll scare people. Conan is easier. Conan is less threatening. Zoltan the Barbarian. Okay? That's the guy you don't want to mess with. Zoltan the Barbarian likely has wings of an eagle. Zoltan the Barbarian, he doesn't ride a horse. He rides a fucking rhinoceros. Zoltan the Barbarian has a 17-inch cock. That's Zoltan the Barbarian, folks. Conan? Conan has daddy issues. Conan is obsessed with some dude that killed his families. Conan spends his life wasting it, searching after revenge. That's stupid. Conan doesn't really succeed in doing much of anything, but Zoltan has a kingdom 10,000 miles long. Zoltan has a navy of 5,500 ships. Zoltan has a sword that's 40 feet long. Yeah, that's right. He has two long swords, that's Zoltan. You cannot name the barbarian Zoltan because it will scare people. People are scared enough with Ronald Reagan in office. They are afraid that some nuclear war is coming and they'll be barbarians soon. And they don't want to think about a barbarian named Zoltan. Anyways. I know, silly topic, the naming of things, but I thought it was funny. Next fucking topic is an article by Paul Joseph Watson that was reposted on Zero Hedge today. And the title headline of the article from today, Seattle taxpayers fund transgender stripper's performance at homeless conference. Guess what? This stripper is not named Christmas. Yeah. Despite complaining about a lack of money, King County leaders used taxpayer dollars to fund the performance of a transgender stripper at a recent conference on homelessness. Yes, really. Beyoncé Black St. James was hired to twerk in attendees' faces and expose her breasts as the audience cheered and handed over dollar bills. The stripper also gave lap dances and kissed attendees. I'd get a shot, people. The theme of the conference was decolonizing our collective work. Wow, that's pretty ambiguous academic bullshit. Decolonizing our collective work. Bullshit. Fucking Zero Hedge. Screw you. Yet another illustration of how obscure radical identity politics, social engineering is infecting everything. Before I go forward, that little comment about Zero Hedge, I try to like read these articles and then a pop-up ad pops up right in the middle of it. Guess what? Zero Hedge didn't used to suck like this. I know you gotta make money. I know you gotta make money, but come on, get real. Anyways, yeah, let me reread that. The theme of the conference was decolonizing our collective work. Yet another illustration of how obscure radical identity politics, social engineering is infecting everything. You got to work on that sentence construction, Mr. Watson. For years, Seattle has claimed that it needs more resources to solve homelessness. But as the video shows, they find it totally appropriate to pay for a transgender stripper to grind on members of the region's homelessness nonprofits, and taxpayer-funded organizations, commented Christopher F. Rufo, who posted a video about this. What the fuck? The event was organized by All Home, the coordinating agency for homelessness in King County, which is headed up by Kira Zylstra, who earns roughly $123,000 a year, Zylstra has been put on paid leave pending an investigation. That sounds like vacation. Seattle has huge problems with homelessness, which will not be solved by transgender stripper performances. Thank you, Mr. Watson. Thank you. As we highlighted earlier this year, a leftist council member recently tried to stop feces being cleaned off the streets of Seattle with a power washer, arguing that it was racist. According to Larry Gossett, power washing brought back images of the use of hoses against civil rights activists. Seattle parks are also becoming no-go areas for the general public because of spiraling problems with aggressive homeless people and trash. There you go, the article by Paul Joseph Watson, Kalu Kalay, Kalu Kalay. Folks, here's the thing though. Some of you are shocked by this, I think. Maybe you are. If you're shocked, you've been living in a cave. You've been living in a cave, buddy. If this shocks you, then you stare at your phone too much. If this shocks you, I wonder, what Amish community are you coming from? I just want to know. Sounds like a really cool, isolated Amish community you're coming from. But if you actually have lived in Seattle for half a second, and you're remotely aware of your surroundings, this fucking article is not that, it's not that shocking. Okay? And guess what? It's not special to Seattle. In fact, I would say, Mr. Watson, if you currently live in the UK, you know, physician, heal thyself, because you should examine your own fucking homeless situation. You should examine your own fucking no-go areas. You should examine the fact that the United Kingdom is falling apart, and so is Europe. So I totally get that Seattle is kind of crappy, but guess what? It's no different than the rest of the fucking world. And as far as Seattle stupidity goes, oh my God, on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe this ranks about a 3 or a 4. It doesn't rank a 10, okay? I'm sorry about that. If you were expecting me to say, oh my God, the horror, I can't believe weirdo politicians in Seattle would pay a transgender stripper to twerk on people and to grind on people. That's crazy. I can't believe this woman gets paid $123K. That's insane. But the fact is, that's fucking normal. That's par for the course. To use that golfing terminology, that is par for the course for King County. That's normal for here. Really fucking normal. We've talked about homelessness in the past, and I don't think there are magical solutions. I think a lot of people want somebody to come along and say, if only we did X. Kind of like that stupid documentary, Seattle is Dying. Probably funded, if you researched it, I really do believe, funded by some type of real estate racket organization, professional organization of realtors. Because the whole thing was, it was like it was written by the National Association of Realtors. All you need to do is ship the people someplace. Real fucking simple. Just ship them away. Have you ever heard of the Renton Mark? Oh, wow, let's talk about that. Have you ever heard of the Renton Mark? Well, that was currency, or whatever you want to call it, thought up by the Nazis prior to World War II. And the idea was to value money based upon land. Well, you know, that works out pretty good if you start invading countries. And you start expelling people. You gotta expel the people, though. Have you been around the Central District of Seattle lately? They're doing a really good job. So, no, the basic solutions to homelessness in Seattle are about as sophisticated as the solution to monetary value for Hitler, which means not very. Just a very brutal stupidity. Most people in Seattle would say homelessness is the cause because it's so simple. If you blame the homeless people, it solves a problem. It's like treating cancer patients by walking up to somebody with stage 4 cancer and saying, hey, listen, buddy, do you have stage 4 cancer? Can I punch you in the stomach? That might help. And if you're going to say, well, Dan, I can't believe you're comparing homelessness to cancer. Listen, I'm not comparing the state of homelessness to having stage 4 cancer. I watched my mom and my sister die of stage 4. I know how fucked up and torturous that is. I'm calling homelessness a symptom, okay? It is not the cause. It is a symptom. And it makes about as much sense to ship away homeless people someplace or buy them bus tickets as it makes sense for an oncologist to punch cancer patients in the stomach. It's about as useful, really. Which means not at all. There is no magical solution, but if you think you have one, you're probably wrong. Homelessness is a symptom. It isn't the cause. Our economy has been in collapse for years. Yes, they do a good job papering it over. Yes, yes, and yes, the stranded unconscious skier is convinced he or she is at the chalet drinking martinis with supermodels of whatever fucking gender. But the reality is, if you live in a place like Seattle, you are living in one of the last places in the United States that still has anything like a quote-unquote robust economy, if you want to call it that. And most of it is buttressed by a lot of government fucking money. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, the healthcare money, the research money, the Department of Defense money. Why don't you just stop me right there? Okay? If you took all the fucking government gimmies out of the King County economy, if you took out all the fucking military bullshit, if the war party had to leave Washington State, the Washington State economy would collapse. But here's the deal, folks. If you live on the Death Star, living in Seattle is nicer than living in other parts. And it's by design, is on purpose, very fucking Stalinistic. And people here believe everybody in the country can live this well. And what they don't want to tell people is we all have to commit to the Death Star if we want that to happen. We basically have to steal more of people's shit, which means, you know, more of these fucking wars, people. Gotta steal more shit. If you want to live like a fucking fancy pants razzmatazz on the Death Star like people in fucking Seattle, shit. We have to commit more crimes. We have to go to another country and topple its government, steal its coltan, its precious metals, steal all the things we need to make our fucking cell phones and our computers. The sad truth is, unless there is some type of functional economic activity, there aren't the resources for everybody right now. And once you fall off the radar, whether it's on purpose, whether you made a stupid decision, whether you're a drug user, whether, for whatever fucking reason, not everybody in the streets is a drug user, folks, but whatever reason you end up there, once you are there, and believe me, I see it every day. Once you are there, it is very difficult, if not impossible, to pull yourself out. It is not a linear transition, folks. It is not. It is a discontinuous transition, meaning that the world of normal, where you have a fucking phone and a warm fucking room to sleep in, and you have food and water, and you can poop someplace privately, that world is over. And you are depending upon people giving a shit about you. And some people do, and a lot of people don't. And guess what? One of the reasons why a lot of people don't give a shit about you is because their own lives are shit, and they won't admit to that. They won't admit that they're working 80 hours a week, making less money than they were 10 years ago, to support a lifestyle that they know deep down inside will only end in destruction. The Death Star, always gets blown up, folks. Okay, every empire in history has collapsed. And if you think that there's something special about our empire and somehow it cannot collapse, like I said, which Amish community are you coming from? Which fucking cave were you living in? We are in collapse right now. And the only question is, will the final fucking act be a world war? Or will it be more like the Soviet Union, where we just kind of fucking fall apart, but it isn't the end of the fucking world? Given the attitude of most Americans, and given what I see in Seattle, and given the conversations I've heard over the holidays, beginning to look a lot like the fucking stripper Christmas, given all those conversations, I can tell you what a lot of fucking Americans will tell you. So what? So what? We became middle class, we became rich, sure. We had to destroy, because again, we won the war, we were the good guys. We had to destroy every fucking major economy in World War II to get there, okay? But the reality is this, whatever fantasy world we had for 10 or 20 years after World War II, that also quickly fucking ended. This empire is gonna crash as quickly as it rose up. Guess what? That's also generally true throughout history. If an empire slowly arises, it slowly falls. If an empire quickly arises, it usually falls about as fast or fucking faster. And a lot of people in Seattle, they think the Death Star lifestyle, the house flipping, bankster bullshit, will go on forever and ever and ever and ever. And all they gotta do is get the homeless people to McNeil Island. All they need to do is put the homeless people in camps, and then everything will be fine. Banzai. That's right, folks. It is the banzai economics, the disaster economics of human destruction. Not everybody gets a chair. And currently, the solution to not having a chair and special parts of the Death Star is basically death. But really, banishment, which leads to death. No, Dan, if we sent them to the island, we'd give them plenty of food. It's not like we would sell out special contracts to Big Pharma to test drugs on them. We'd never do that in Washington State. Yeah, it's not like you don't have the Hanford Reservation basically threatening what's left of the fucking ecosystem, and you're okay with the money that comes from the feds for that bullshit, aren't you, Washington fucking State? Think about it, all the military bases, number one polluter on planet Earth, you make a lot of money off of that shit, Washington State. So don't sell me that bullshit. If you put all the homeless people on McNeil Island, I promise you, within 5 years, and it'll probably be a fucking Democrat, will convince you, you know what, these homeless people on McNeil Island, they're not doing anything, why don't we try to make a little money to support them? Let Big Pharma, let Eli Lilly come in, let Pfizer, Merck, let a company come in and run some fucking tests. What's the big deal? They're just homeless people. And you can laugh and mock all you want to. I'm telling you, if the system continues, certain things will just get worse. For example, debtor's prison, debtor's jail. If this system continues, debtor's jail is 5 or 10 years away. Yeah, guess what? One of the foundational protections guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution will cease to exist within 10 years. And frankly, it's already mostly gone. Okay, if bankruptcy were truly a thing, you would be able to go bankrupt on student loans, but you can't, can you? Oh, I guess that's a little thing you never thought about when you thought your Constitution worked. It doesn't work, folks. It's IKEA furniture. It was broke 15 minutes after it was fucking put into effect. Like any piece of IKEA furniture. Anyways, next topic. There was an article today about how Iran alleges a plot of terrorism involving drug-laced sponge cake. And I don't know the veracity of this. It could be bullshit. You know, just because I'm no fan of Israel doesn't mean I'm a fan of Iran, FYI. I would not want to move there. I don't have any interest in anything to do with it. I just simply don't see the point in going to war with Iran since, you know, I don't think we should do it. It makes no fucking sense. Are they attacking the U.S.? No. Are they threatening oil interests in the Middle East and Persian Gulf? Probably. Guess what? If we actually were not an empire, we wouldn't give a shit about crap like that. If we were actually a free republic, we wouldn't give a fuck. What? Fucking Saudi Arabia? Fucking Iraq? We wouldn't even be there in the first place. But we aren't, are we? We are an empire. And that's why we care. You know, say what you will about Trump, but at least he's come out and been pretty brutally honest about the whole fucking oil thing. We didn't go to Syria to help people. We went to Syria to murder and lie and cheat and steal so we could do a couple things. Guarantee certain pipelines could be built to transport, you know, petroleum and natural gas to Europe. Yeah, the southern strategy against Russia. And the other thing, to get our own fucking oil. To get the fucking oil itself, to fucking take the rigs. Like Trump said, we took the oil, we should have taken more oil. Yeah. Don't you remember when Benjamin Franklin said that shit? We went and we took their fucking whaling ships, we should have taken more of them, but for now we're just going to periodically steal people's whaling ships. Yeah, I don't think that would have been so cool. But yet somehow today it's pretty awesome. Steal the fucking oil and keep it. That's great. I don't know what to say about the story about the cakes laced with drugs. You know, I was looking at the fucking article. Let's read a little of it. Fucking article. And this was penned by Tyler Durden, pseudonym. And it says, Iranian officials, Monday, blah, blah, blah. Several cake factories in some of the country's southern provinces had been forced to suspend production after pills, including the narcotic-like pain relief drug Tramadol, were discovered in packaged produce. Wow. Cake factories. If this is something the CIA or the Israelis are doing, I just have to say it's such a fucking prick move. But I do know it's within their wheelhouse. You know, the United States, during the Cold War, had a reputation of waging illegal warfare against people's ability to produce food. The CIA did this. The CIA did this in Honduras, in Guatemala, in lots of places. The CIA did this in Cuba. And guess what? The CIA still does this today. They might be slicker about it. They probably are. After the Church Commission and a few other things, they've gotten slicker. Now they do most of their shit with NGOs, you know, non-governmental organizations. Holy fuck. What'd you say, Dan? Are you saying that most of their really terrible shit is done with NGOs now? It's been that way since the Church Commission, since the fucking hearings in the 70s, folks. The very second that they got caught doing their own assassinations, they decided to do what everyone else was doing, outsource it. So I don't know. Could be Israeli Mossad, could be CIA, could be bullshit. Could be people smuggling drugs and the Iranian government just wants to blame somebody other than themselves. Could be anything. I thought it was an interesting article because for some reason sponge cake with, you know, laced with opioids or anti-anxiety drugs, for some reason that sounded really good today. Oh, that's so fucked up, people. Don't know what to tell you. Don't know what to say, folks. I mean, I don't know. Iranian sponge cake laced with drugs sounds really good right about now. That is the state of Little Saigon, folks. Of course, we could talk about other things if we wanted to. We could talk about the wars between various tribes that I hear every night. We could talk about the screaming gypsies and the various clans that are now forging weapons off of Rainier Avenue. We could talk about the fact that the Gronkis lords, who once controlled 3rd Avenue, now control 5th and 6th. We could talk about the fact that all of a sudden this place we call home is becoming a nightmare. What do we want to talk about? I don't know what to tell you, folks. Next week is Christmas. And yeah, there probably is a stripper hooker that lives down the street named Christmas. And guess what? Those spellings may or may not be the same. One of the words has a K, one of them has a Z in it. So the proper naming of Christmas might not be the same for the stripper. And, you know, the holiday. But they sound alike, don't they? They sound alike, and that's what matters. My stripper friend named Christmas, who lives right around the corner. Yeah, I don't know what else to talk about. I guess this is it for the Little Saigon Report for today, for tonight, for Monday night, December the 16th, 2019. Maybe this particular Little Saigon Report will be remembered as one of the ones that wasn't so great, wasn't so bad. Some of you guys like snails. Some of you guys like oysters. Some of you guys are into guys. Maybe that's okay. I am technically not homophobic, because that would imply I'm afraid of gay people. And technically I'm not. I couldn't possibly go shopping at the Harvard Avenue QFC off Broadway if I was homophobic. If I felt some dread fear of gay people. I don't. I'm simply A, not gay, and B, I'm a Christian. And as such, I have questions about certain choices. But no, I've got nothing against gay people. Anywho, if some of you listen to me, whatever you think your gender is as an adult, if some of you listen to me and you have extra money and you'd like to help and you've already paid for your food, your water, your shelter, the people you care about and love, you've taken care of your kids and your animals and even your French bulldog. I don't care about your French bulldog. I don't care about the French bulldog, but if you've taken care of all you need to, and you've got a little extra left over, and you enjoy my podcast, then please feel free to donate using the Venmo link in the description area of this podcast, or use the donate Venmo link off my SoundCloud homepage. There's one right there, donate using Venmo. And if you say, Dan, I don't want to use Venmo, then you can email me at, you know, me at iamsully.com. You can find that email link also on my SoundCloud homepage. I don't know why I put it up there. Someday, if I ever do get more than 3 or 4 people listening, who knows, I might get flooded. So you can propose any kind of payment. You can say, Dan, I cannot pay you using Venmo. Dan, I cannot pay you using Venmo. My name is Artiferix the Seventh. I was sent here from another time, another place. The distant past, a past that involved barbarians. I was sent here from a world that involved magical kingdoms and pyramids and all kinds of fucking crazy-ass steampunk bullshit. My name is Artiferix, and I cannot pay you using a credit card, Dan. They don't give people like me credit cards, you fuck. And I can't pay it using Bitcoin, Dan. I don't want to participate in that bullshit. Dan, I can't pay you with cash because I have none. But I can pay you a different way, Dan. I can pay you a different way, Dan. I can pay you a different way, Dan. I can pay you with love. That's right. You can pay people with love. You can send them hugs. Right now, if you're listening to my voice, I am sending you a hug. I am hugging you. I am giving you a bear hug. I'm squeezing so hard, the air is leaving your chestal cavity. I am squeezing you so hard, the blood is rushing to your fucking brain. I am squeezing you so hard, you're wondering, has Dan gone insane? You don't have to give people money. You can give them love. You don't have to give people gold or diamonds or silver or chainsaws. You can give them love. You don't have to give them jet airplanes or hookers or cocaine. You can give your kids love. You don't have to give me a Chris Kraft Constellation 50-footer with twin diesels. You can give me love. You don't have to give me an ounce of Northwest Cannabis Solutions, Legends, Blue Dream. You can give me love. You don't have to give me a tripod-mounted 12-gauge Gatling gun gravity feed mechanism that'll take any type of 12-gauge. You can give me love. That's right. You can always give somebody love.